We're with Joe Courtney, Democrat, Connecticut's 2nd District. He's been in office since 2007, and he works, and it represents the place where they make the big boats, right?
That's correct. Electric Boat Shipyard.
Right.
In Groton, Connecticut.
That's pretty important. And it's not surprising that you now have made you chair of the Subcommittee on Sea Power and Projection Forces. I get the sea power part. Is the projection like firing missiles off a submarine?
No, it's actually a whole other sort of portfolio of airlift and sea lift. So all the cargo planes, the C-130s, and the sea lift, which are the non warship component of the Navy that transports stuff, and sailors and Army and Marines and all that kind of stuff. So. It's the logistical side of the business, which, as General Eisenhower always said, that's for the real professionals. The other stuff is for the armchair, amateurs. So anyway, it's going to be a great assignment. As you may have seen in our press release, we checked with a House historian, and the last time anyone from Connecticut has had a Navy committee chairmanship was 1872. So it's. For a lot of the folks who, and again, we've got about 10,000 sailors in Groton, as well as officers and lots of retirees. They're actually pretty excited about it. We have a very proud maritime history in the Northeast and certainly in Connecticut.
Indeed, you do. So I was going to ask you, did any of your people, their military, did any of your people have a problem with the individual contractors and others with the shutdown, the government shutdown?
So the Navy, was shielded from it because the Department of Defense was fully funded for the whole fiscal year back in September when, again, three quarters of the government was fully funded. However, the Coast Guard, which is a branch of the military but is housed in the Department of Homeland Security, not DOD, was hit by the shutdown. We do have the Coast Guard Academy in New London, which is this amazing higher ed institution that trains up the officers in the Coast Guard, and it's staffed obviously by experienced Coast Guard personnel and employees who again couldn't get a paycheck, had to go through the whole rigmarole of who's essential and who's non-essential in terms of who had to go to work every day. And it was just shameful, Alan. The Connecticut Food Bank, which is a great group. I'm sure upstate New York has similar programs that provide food assistance for people who are food insecure, which are generally speaking is sort of low-income folks or people who are in difficult moments in their lives. The Connecticut Food Bank actually had to set up food bank availability for Coast Guard families. There was the usual sort of lines of people waiting for fresh fruits and vegetables and foodstuffs because, again, they hadn't been paid in a month or so. And some of these folks who work at the academy, are relatively entry-level government employees. So, their salaries are in the, maybe the high 20s, low 30s. For an individual like that with a family, forget it. I mean, that loss of a paycheck drove them literally to having to go to charity to put food on the table. I mean, it's just disgraceful. And, the contradiction of having the Coast Guard left out, again, was one of the really stomach-turning unexpected events for a lot of the folks in this country. Coast Guard, even though they are the Homeland Security Maritime Force, they actually do a lot of work overseas. So there are six Coast Guard cutters over in the Middle East in the Persian Gulf. They're stationed with the 5th Fleet over there, and they do patrols of the Straits of Hormuz, which is that very contested space with Iran that, a huge percentage of commercial traffic flows through every single day. The Coast Guard folks that are over there, I mean, they're so well-trained for littoral waters in terms of patrols. And frankly, I've heard this from Navy folks do an even better job than the Navy ships that are over there. But again, they're serving side by side with their Navy colleagues. The Navy colleagues are getting paid. They're not. They're all, their heads are back home worrying about whether there's going to be food on the table for their families. Same thing, they were over in the Indo-Pacific region. with the 7th Fleet doing similar types of work in the Straits of Taiwan, South China Sea, you know, all these areas, very dangerous work. And yet they, again, were trapped in this shutdown. So it's the whole exercise should hopefully once and for all just say that shutdown politics should come to an end. Unfortunately, the president's interview with the Wall Street Journal over the weekend, in his mind, he still views a shutdown as some kind of bargaining chip, which is really just, after what we've been through, outrageous. And I'll tell you, I mean, people on both sides of the wall that have been calling into our office, they are universally opposed to a shutdown as a way of you know, jamming a policy through that has nothing to do with the work of all these other great Americans who were affected.
So, Joe Courtney, let me ask you a question. The distinction between the military and the Coast Guard seems to be, as you've pointed out, kind of silly. You know, that one is not considered military. I do know, I think I'm right about this, because, you know, being a Fire Islander by birth, I think I remember that the Nazi spies were caught out there by the Coast Guard. Am I wrong about
that? Exactly right. That is absolutely correct. And what's interesting is because it was World War II when that event occurred, there actually is a provision in federal law that when there is a declaration of war, the Coast Guard is automatically transferred into the jurisdiction of the Department of Navy.
Interesting.
So, but we're not in a you know, wartime situation right now. We've had authorization of use of force, you know, going back to 9/11. But they are still in this gray zone, which, you know, historically the Coast Guard, as anyone who watched Hamilton knows, I mean, that was actually Alexander Hamilton's, vision to start a maritime force for the purpose of collecting revenue. And actually precedes the U.S. Navy. The Coast Guard's older than the U.S. Navy, little known fact by some people. But again, it's always been in this kind of betwixt and between status. And I will tell you, as the incoming chair of the Sea Power Committee, I'm already talking to my counterpart who has the Coast Guard Subcommittee, Sean Maloney, who I assume has probably been a guest on your program in the
many
past.
Times.
Well, he has the Coast Guard Subcommittee, and he's going to be a great chairman on that that body. And he and I have already had a conversation about how, you know, we certainly, for the extent of events like a shutdown, this service has to be treated with parity in terms of the other military branches. They should not have this incongruous isolation of a service that does such important work for the country.
I got a minute, but I want to ask you a question. Is it nice being in the majority as opposed to minority?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I'm going to be, you know, somebody who tries to really respect the process. And in fact, I know I will as chairman. But the fact of the matter is, you know, so many issues that have been bottled up, you know, we're going to really finally start seeing some movement. And that's really what I think the country was looking for back in November.
Well, it's always great to talk to our friend Joe Courtney, Democrat, Connecticut of 2nd District. Now that he's the chairman of this very powerful committee, the chairman on sea power and projection forces, as well as a member of the subcommittee on readiness, I got to say, we've given you a new nickname. We're now calling you Admiral. It's great, great to talk to you, Admiral Courtney. When we come back the next time, we got lots of other stuff to talk about.
Thanks, Alan.